Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM, your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I'm joined by Tomasz Maciejewski, and he is the LinkedIn trainer and B2B consultant and founder at ContentWay. Tomasz, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me. Super happy as long-time listener.
I'm excited. You will be the second recording of a new content type that we're doing called Actual Audits. And the goal is, let's dive deep into an existing ABM program or an existing activation playbook or podcast and work through potentially ways that we can optimize the existing programming so you can generate some better results. So right. With that, before we dig into anything else, I'd love to hear the kind of high level overview of the playbook that you are currently running so that we can all wrap our heads around it.
Okay. Quick background for the end of the last year. I created content in English. I started the B2B growth letter. I created this list. But the beginning of the year, I realized, okay, I have mostly my readers from Poland and I love to be on the stage. So I decided, okay, let's launch something in Polish. I switched my language. I started LinkedIn local Warsaw meetups that gather 100 people every month. So I'm pretty excited about this. And I also decided to start podcast playbook. So for this reason, I started podcasts in Polish, Liderzy Sprzedaży Marketing B2B, to translate in English, leaders of sales and marketing B2B, to have this broad opportunity to invite my potential clients and also to build position that there is something worth to be part of this. And it's not so common. And yeah, they're mostly like thought leadership podcasts. I started this to interview, to build relationship. And now I'm on the stage that I have 7 podcasts live. And I started with people that I know, not maybe my potential clients, but I decide to build these foundations, to not invite sales director from the big company to the podcast with one episode. I worked on the graphic design and yeah, I'm preparing the foundations to be ready to invite like my potential clients when already I have 10 episodes on air.
Yeah, so this is really the LinkedIn social selling plus podcast playbook where you're, again, building the relationships, building some brand reputation within a very specific niche with the goal being that you become an authority in that niche for your target accounts.
True, true. My long-term goal, I want to organize conferences in Poland because as I speak before, I love, you know, offline events and to be on the stage. And with this meetup, I gather 100 people every month. So I see, okay, this is my direction. But of course, on the side, it's like long-term to build a list, to build reputation. So I also to selling my social selling programs, started with ABM also. To also, I use it as the part of discovery process because on one hand, I know a lot about my target audience, but I could know more and I believe that it's much easier to talk about the real problems, obstacles after we finish the interview than to reach to people as the solo consultant. So this is my also goal for this AB program to really pull it to also get more specific market research than I can like one-on-one conversation from the cold zero.
I love that. Again, as we start to think about this audience, I am curious, like how did you start to identify an audience, build an account list, and then actually working through that targeting process?
Okay, it is based off my past clients. And I found that the best clients that I like to work, it's someone that already they create content, they have marketer in the team, but they are not too big, because I found that too big companies that are okay, we can figure by our own, and we need to work with enterprise companies. Of course, I have some corporate clients, even corporate from US, that they have their branches in Poland, but I found that around 50 employees, they are doing some content. I can spot this, that it's not super successful based on their engagement on LinkedIn. So this way, I want to reach to them and to show that that way, okay, you're already creating content, that's important, but let's maybe switch from the thought leadership that you are creating something and waiting for potential clients to something that we use this content to engage with the potential clients, because in current situation, you don't even know if your ICPs, they're even ever, never ever seen you, what you spent money to create.
Yeah. So again, I love the recognition that you look back at your existing customer base. You've worked with a variety of clients, but you said these are the clients that I find I am most successful with. And it's, they've got somebody that's an internal marketer, generally 50 employees in that ballpark. They're doing things already, but it's just not working. Mm-hmm. So you come in not to convince them to start the program, but hey, you look like you're already bought in. Here's how we actually make this program successful. Am I hearing all that correctly?
Yes, because targeting that companies only sales oriented, only cold outreach, cold calling, it's hard to convince them that it's worth to do marketing. But if you see that, for me, like around 50 employees, pretty small company, they're investing in marketing, that's okay. They are looking for the new ways. And to maybe specify industry, high ticket services, IT, and some other specific services. Like I have a good client with which offers some super specific age programs, and it was okay. That is the way I like, but this niche is too small in Poland to target only on this kind of businesses. So I decided to work with the high ticket services. I have some from production. It is also pretty good niche in Poland, but I have more experience with especially IT, which is really high level here in Poland, and also like with good recognition around the world.
Yeah. So in addition to everything we just mentioned, you're also, again, very industry specific around high ticket services, IT, and trying to go deep there. So that's, I think, great from a targeting perspective. My question is then, like, how are you then progressing an account and actually tracking, okay, this account knows that we exist. They're starting to engage with our brand. Okay, now they're like really, in the account progression model that we use as a kind of our standard is awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, re-engagement, conversion, and then pipeline. Okay. So again, as I think through that standard account progression model, like, how are you tracking that people, anything before re-engagement? How are you tracking that? They know we exist. They start to engage with our brand. Okay, they might be ready to buy.
Okay, maybe I don't have this process so good in place. As I mentioned, LinkedIn is the, like my main source of income. So I use mostly Sales Navigator. And there I have specific filters for the accounts, like list. And I have that account that, okay, I choose that I want to. They're like my dream list. Next level is something that I'm already and that I really decided, okay, I want to, I'm really looking to the way to engage with them. And also for me, it's like commenting on LinkedIn is the foundational part of, so also as in ABM playbooks. Next level, I want to, and I prepared this podcast way that, because sometimes I see, and I'm interested about your opinion about this, because sometimes it will be, I see that will be super hard to invite someone to the podcast because I would have no idea what to ask them about. And I decided to make in the mirror, like the sketch that I decide, okay, this is, I see opportunity for podcast. And here I will do only like prospecting with videos. So I decided that this also, this crossroad, okay, I will go to the way that I feel in this company. I think that they could be interesting for my program, but I don't see anyone. For example, they don't post anything on LinkedIn, but they have company blog. So I see, okay, maybe they're a good opportunity. So I go with video podcasting and audio, etc. And second part, and the other way is to invite to the podcast. So before invitation, I try to comment to build awareness of my name and my surname, because do not be the stranger. Hey, go, please come to my podcast. I put it information about my podcast in my headline in the top place, because I believe that also people will be more likely to accept invitation from the podcast host than consultant, someone who wants to sell something, of course. And I have this my headline like the next place. So from the from this like rotation, I decided to test with this. So yeah, this is my like next level, to put people that I want to invite, so comment their content, and after 2 weeks to invite them to my network. Sometimes with text, if I see some good reason to add this text, that I don't see any good reasons, so I prefer to send with blank invitation, and then to ask them to join the podcast. I prepared special page with the all the information about the podcast, because also I want to build in the process that if someone will be my guest, they will see, okay, this guy is really organized. So I use that like booking tool, possible questions, example of the episodes. This is, I think it's all, rest will be like sales process. I try to feel if there's some opportunity for doing business or not. And then eventually to follow up if we can schedule a sales call, and then the normal sales process. So to follow up if they are not ready or they want to have another meetings. So I think it's all in my process.
I'm just going to repeat back what I heard, which is, again, you're using Sales Nav as the an awareness level list. So the goal in anybody that you build in a Sales Nav list, that you're starting to engage in their content. Like, the goal is just to make sure that they know that you exist in the first place. After that, about 2 weeks into you engaging their content, or just trying to, another thing that I've seen that works generally somewhat well is looking at the content that they're engaging with and then showing up with comment there. Because if they're engaging with the same people almost every day and you start to show up in the comments, there's a higher likelihood that they'll see you there. So there's that side. And then about 2 weeks in, you connect with them. So I would view the exception of their connection request as initial engagement in your context. And then you continue to engage. And then when they accept a podcast invite, that is where it becomes meaningful engagement for your context. So once they've booked and they've actually recorded, it sounds like once they've actually done the recording, if there was opportunities that came up through the conversation or things that you've continued to find, and then you re-engage and say, hey, actually, by the way, I think that we could work together. And the re-engagement stage is post-podcast. So again, if I think through an account progression model, it's who are going after, when do they accept our connection request, when do they record the podcast, and then post-podcast, it really then gets into more of a prospecting effort for re-engagement. And then once they've actually booked a call, you run your standard sales process. Am I hearing that all correctly?
True. Yes. Yes. Cool. I forgot about this. This is the part of publishing podcast, because it's also the part I also try to do the good impression. So with sending like good graphic designs, etc. So I think the marketing ladder also, if you past podcast, it was this example that guest prize that they get good social media posts, etc. So I also try to implement this way to build this good connection.
Perfect. As far as how you're building this list, we've mentioned Sales Navigator numerous times. Are there any other data sources that you're using to compile your target account list?
Not at this moment. I think I will expand this in the future, because as I mentioned, I plan to organize conferences. So I think I will check sponsors of other events that could be good accounts for this specific goal. And this level, I don't need so many leads. I think even reaching to people that I have in my network, it will be enough for this campaign. So I want to start with this people that are already aware of my content. I think will be the best at the beginning. Of course, in ABM, you want to make it as easy as possible, because in P2P is often hard.
No, I think that's perfect. So as we think about distribution channels of again, how are you actually getting in front of these people? We've talked a lot about LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that you do publish through their podcast. And the other thing that you mentioned, mm-hmm. and I think this is an under thought through distribution channel in the context of mm-hmm. podcasting, but it's email. Mm-hmm. Because you've already mentioned mm-hmm. after you post-produce the episode, you send them all the content. So it's another touch point. Mm-hmm. Are there any other ways that you're distributing information and getting in front of these guests?
No, I'm started because I'm set up automation. So I have a lead list of all the guests. So they have a special email list. Podcast guest. I've never used it yet because, yeah, as I mentioned, I started inviting my friends, sales consultant, marketing consultants, agencies, so people not directly my target audience, but people that we can promote my brand of my podcast. And yeah, I'm planning also email list to start in the next few weeks because I want to, as after every LinkedIn meetup, I have 40 plus organic content from people. So I want to have my logo next and the information join the newsletter for the best news about B2B sales and marketing. So I will see how it works. So I want to also establish this connection with newsletter. I think about the segmentation because it would be great in the, you know, thinking because I want to do this for the disc of so conferences in the future. So checking different tools, but yeah, marketing automation is the whole new chapter to open. But yeah, I wanted to start as fast as possible with tools that I already have that I bought on AppSumo, etc.
Awesome. So again, when we think about the distribution channels, it's currently LinkedIn. It's currently distributing, obviously, the podcast. It's the one-to-one emails you're looking at, mm-hmm. inevitably getting some marketing automation running. And then I should have also mentioned this, but from a distribution perspective, it is also inevitably actually their LinkedIn's if they post, because mm-hmm. that's a way that you can actually get in front of more. Like one of the underutilized things is if you invite somebody's boss on and you're trying to break into a specific mm-hmm. department and their boss posts about you, mm-hmm. all of their team members that work for them will see that, or work with them will mm-hmm. see that. So I think that's another distribution channel that people don't necessarily think through when it mm-hmm. comes to podcasting and like, how do you dramatically increase brand awareness within a specific account? So that all sounds really fantastic. The other thing you mentioned is it relates to content. So the content mm-hmm. assets, you've got already a dedicated landing page for people to submit their forms and actually register and have a very organized experience. You've also already mentioned the post-production of short form video and graphic assets. Are there any other, and I would think more like enablement pieces. So mm-hmm. I understand how people get to know you. My question is more around like, how do they get to know your service offerings through this process? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here I'm like a little less limiting belief to not to be sales too much salesy.
Yeah.
I believe in this that, okay, people will be also checking me, and even today, before our podcast, I recorded my show, and that person that is like my competition also teaching SalesNav in Poland, but also mentioned that, okay, you are writing about a lot about ABM. So for me, it's okay, clearly working. So from my perspective, as I'm preparing for this campaign, I just want that casual question and to also put some question that will show that, okay, maybe they have some challenges in connecting with the key clients. So this is my idea, that asking that, okay, how it looks in your case, and I maybe you want to discuss a little more on the specific call. If you need something, please reach to me. Yeah. But yeah, I asked different people about this, that mostly from podcast agencies, they also keep this casual way. So I'm interested in your opinions, how to make this count, but not over salesy, because from my perspective, as also I want to, you know, educate the Polish market about this. So many people will say, okay, as I'm telling this casual and soft, they, okay, it's great for you because you are like solo consultant and great, but we have our goals, KPIs. So how to combine this?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different thoughts on this front. So one of the recommendations that I do offer is put a dedicated landing page, which you've already done, but that landing page should also have like your header nav information. And the mm-hmm. goal is to create opportunities for people to easily mm-hmm. go and explore. So it could be something where after they submitted a form, it's like, by the way, while you're here, explore some of the resources. And it's not a gated anything. It's just ungated additional content. And, you know, ideally, it would be not podcast episodes that are of guests. If you do solo podcast episodes or episodes in which you share a lot of your own perspective and thoughts, like prime example, like these actual audit episodes, like they're guest podcasts, but also it's like a free consulting session. So somebody listens into this, they're actually hearing my thought process on how to improve and build an ABM program. So again, even though it's a guest-driven episode, like this is consultative. So like somebody could listen back to this and understand my thought process around like, how do you build an ABM program? Like what are your distribution channels? So that's all valuable and beneficial. So once they've actually booked, the goal is now like getting them more aware of you specifically and educated. So that's the first thing. And then again, if it can live on the main website, obviously is a not linked anywhere else on the website, like it's an orphaned landing page, but it has the header nav. So somebody can go in and click and see like services. And again, if nothing else, somebody just scrolls over or they see it, they know what you do. So one of the things that I'm in the process of doing is actually building out dedicated product and service pages on our website. So then people like just land on the website and they look at the header nav, they see podcasting, activation playbooks, ABM pilot programs. They probably can figure that out from scrappy ABM. Maybe podcasting's a weird one, but it gives them clarity of what we actually offer. And then if it piques their interest, they can go and click on the page. So that's the goal, is how do I create opportunities through their natural conversion paths that they have the opportunity to dig further, to self-educate? Because again, imagine somebody hops on the podcast and then after they're like, golly, I love that interview that you did with so-and-so. Like they've now come in more informed and engaged. And it's not going to happen every time. But again, if you converted 20% of people, not to pipeline, but just to education, and they actually started to get hooked on your content, like that's the long-term impact. So that's one thing. The other thing is, and you've already referenced doing it a couple of times, but like for me, I often invite people onto my show that are of like mind and they already think a lot of the ways that I think. And then what I do is, if it comes up, I want to be super clear. This is where it gets into a bit of the feeling it out. But I've actually pulled up education decks after a recording and just said like, when you said this, it immediately, because I've got a very clear 4D framework of data distribution, destination, and direction. As I work through playbooks, I'm like, oh my gosh, this so perfectly fit into this piece. I've never thought about it that way. And they're like, oh, that's amazing. And then we get to nerd out, but it's nerding out over like a framework that our team has developed and like a thought process and clear thought leadership in the space around how do you build an ABM program. And the goal there is not to convert them. They already have had the Kool-Aid. They know how to do it. The goal is oftentimes people will want to hire them, or they'll have people that will say, God, I just wish I had your brain. And their brain isn't for hire. Mine and my team is. So if we can educate them on, hey, we're actually like reading from the same page, we're on the same thought process. So if anybody like that comes to you for help and you just don't have the time to help them, send them our way. And we've already built the relationship. So it's less the immediate conversion and it's more the, hey, if you know anybody that needs help with this stuff that you just talked through, we do that stuff. The other thing that inevitably does happen is we are not then pitched as this massive expert, but we're pitched as people that allow acceleration. So again, I often don't sell on a secret sauce. We claim very frequently, we don't sell the secret sauce. We sell step-by-step. So like any of our activation playbooks, you can listen to the podcast episode. You can probably figure it out in 90 to 120 days. Our team just knows how to do it and we'll do it in 30 to 45. So like it's the time and it's the value that matches the guest. So I'm giving you all that context to say like when it comes up and it makes sense and it's not a pitch, it's purely, oh my gosh, I get so excited because what you just said ties back into the things that we also think, that I also think, that I help our clients with. And here's how. God, that, it just, it creates a deeper relationship, because again, I'm not pitching. I'm actually saying, in a very direct way, actually, you are so smart. Like, what you were referencing is how we think too. I'm so glad to know that there are other people out there that think this way. It's like building them up. So that's the thought process.
Great. It's like the best networking. It's not in the networking also the best deal. It's not like direct pitch to everyone, just to find the good match. So yeah, thank you, because there's some, I made some good notes and also that gave me some good ideas. Great.
Good. Again, I think we've walked through the program. The last component to this is like, how are you tracking any of this engagement to then know when to reach out? Is it purely like, for lack of a word, and again, it makes sense in your context being a smaller business, but is it purely you have a podcast interview and they say stuff and you're like, oh yeah, I can help with that? Or are there any other tracking components that you've set up?
Yeah, I started with building this tracker with Notion. That I like this because in Notion, I've built my process for daily posting on LinkedIn. I have content calendar and also I have their tracker, and I have the different fields so I can move people there. Probably that could be better automated with the more specific tools, but I found when I tested with Pipedrive, etc., that it's like more and more tools, so I try to limit in the one space. So it's not super advanced tracking, but it's something that allow me to have these different trackers, because I don't want to have like different tools because for podcast guests. Also, I have CRM and some people that say, okay, in 2 months, please come back to me. And yep. I have also, you know, CRM for my normal activities, for selling workshop, for selling programs. I have this built in Notion, but I'm keep improving this.
Yeah. Okay. Super helpful. Tomas, thank you for joining me today. As I think through the core things, again, we've got actually a pretty solid breakdown around the awareness, initial engagement, and meaningful engagement. And again, in a shop of your size, like helping people to know that you exist and then inviting them onto a show is a great playbook. I think as we just dove in deep, the gap is now, once they come on the show, they may not be immediately ready. How do I inevitably convert them and keep them re-engaged? Sounds like you're trying to put in place some marketing automation components that are specific to guests that would help with that ongoing engagement. And the other final component is just working through the tracking pieces from beginning to end. So that, because the goal is, and I've referenced this on a number of occasions on LinkedIn, I said, it's probably 2 weeks ago, your current pipeline is what you've got to work with for Q2. So for context, it's the very end of April. If you're middle of the way through April and you're looking at your current pipeline, that's what you got to work with, unless you have clear understandings of where some other accounts are currently in your process from an education perspective. So the more you can track how these accounts engaging with our content and actually becoming educated and eventually like hitting our product pages or our pricing page or our schedule a call page, but like not booking a call. If you've got a highly engaged content binger, plus they viewed all of those pages, like that's when you want to be notified, hey, I need to give this person a nudge. And the question is then how do you set up that tracking so that you can do it? So those would be the only recommendations. Again, for a pilot, like very small program, what I appreciate about what you've done is you've got very clear focus of, we know we engage in these channels, we engage with this audience, this is how we progress an account. It's just setting up the tracking so that it's more the, I think you've got right person, right channel. The question is now with those tracking components, how do you factor in that right time component? And then you should have a pretty solid, repeatable program.
True. Yeah, I forgot about mentioning this because I also have this happier leads to identify people on the specific pages. So right. I think I should also work on this. And yeah, this is something also that it's in my mind. So thank you. It's a great summary, and I was with this program alone, so it was something that in my mind, what is wrong, what is good, and yeah, great confirmation for many of my hypotheses. So thank you for inviting me, and yeah, I'm super happy that I hope that our listeners also will find value from this.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Tomas. If people want to find out more about you, it sounds like obviously LinkedIn, but what's the website?
In English, I recommend b2bgrowth.com. It's my newsletter. It's like Perfect. On hold because I started with this starting this engine in Polish market, but with starting newsletter in English, I want also to have this like common part to come back to publishing newsletter in English. So feel welcome to join there and let's stay in touch. And also LinkedIn, but don't be afraid, don't be scary of that. All of my content is in Polish because I really believe in focus. And yeah, when I post in English, 100% English, now 100% Polish, but newsletter is my English channel. So see you on LinkedIn, see you on newsletter.
That sounds perfect. Again, Tomas, thank you so much for joining me today and letting us dig into your program. This has been Scrappy ABM. Hope you all enjoyed. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.